Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Tzadik Gimel. We left off yesterday on the bottom line where it says Umar B'Yochanan, but we went through the last couple lines very quickly. So, with your kind permission, we'll just go over it very, very quickly again, starting in six lines from the bottom. Hunter Rabbanim. This is in the bottom of Tzadik Beis Umid Beis. Shisha Nisim Nasu Ba'Isa Hayoim. That day that Nebuchadnezzar said that they should push the three Hanani, Mishael, Azariah into the Kibshon Ha'esh. Six miracles occurred on that day. What were the six miracles? The Elohim, Tzof HaKibshon, the furnace was floating. In other words, instead of being submerged, instead of being submerged in the ground, it came up, it floated. V'nifrat HaKibshon, as well as walls of the Kibshon came down, so you were able to see what was going on in the furnace.
It was a plasma.
A plasma?
You could see through
it. You could see. Oh, so it's what we say today, transparency. Vuhumak soidai. We had three different pshatim. Rashi, one of the pshatim was, it was vuhumak sidai. The sid, the plaster, started melting. And in fact, it spritzed out or came out from the kivshon onto those people that threw Hanani Mishael Azari into the kivshon, and therefore they got burnt, instead of those in the kivshon getting burnt. And the people from the outside waving. The other way around, Hanani Mishael Azari could have waved from the inside because they were saved. The people outside that threw them in, they were the ones that were killed. The Nebach Tzelem Alpanav, the Tzelem that Nebuchadnezzar had erected, that was the whole reason why Hanani Mishael Azari were thrown into Kivshon Ha'esh, because everybody had to go and bow down to this Tzelem. They refused, and therefore they were thrown into the Kivshon Ha'esh. So that Tzelem fell down on its face. V'nisrafu Arba Malchiois, and four Malchiois, that means four levels of governorship, meaning of government officials, were burned. V'hechi Yecheskel es ha-meisim be-Bikas Dura. And Yecheskel was able to mechai meisim of the meisim that were in Bikas Dura. And you remember we had a discussion yesterday, who were those meisim in Bikas Dura? They were very handsome young men, but the whole story.
Is that the Chazon Ha'atzamot?
Yes. This is exactly, this is talking about the Atzamot HaYeveshot that Yecheskel was Mechayim. Right. V'kulu Gemara. Of the six Nisim, we do not have any documents or any proof for five of them. They were all Alpi Kabbalah.
Oral tradition.
Oral tradition. Very good. However, the Arba Malchiyos Kra, that already we can find in the Pasuk. Where do we find the Pasuk? The Chsif. It says in the Pasuk, V'nevuchadnezzar Malka Sholech Lemechnish, Nebuchadnezzar sent to go and assemble from Russian like Knoisis Kola Yehudim, which we just had now in the Megillah. To whom? L'achshar Penaya, Signaya Upachvasa. Achshar Penaya we have in the Megillah. And the Signaya means like assistants, like a Skan Kohen Godel, Kedoyma, Upachois are also officials. And then you have four other government officials with very, very unusual titles. Adar Gazaria, Gadbaria, Ditavraya, and Taftaya, and V'chol Shultani Medinas, and all the other officials that were there in the Medina, Nebuchadnezzar called for all of them. That was prior to the fire of the Hanani Mishael Azariah. However, subsequently, it says, Isi Gruven Yehudoyim, when the Yidin came out, that is the three Hanani Mishael Azariah, the same three titles that we had before, Ashtarpanim, the Skanim, and the Pachvosa. And notice now we leave out the Adazraya, the Gidbaraya, the Tevraya, and the Teftaya. Those are no longer mentioned. But rather, Hadibri Malka, Chazin, the Gavrai Elech. And those remaining Divri Malka means like the spokesman for the king, other officials and assistants, they saw the Gevraya, the Hanani Mishael Azariah, as they were thrown in, and they saw them as they came out. Why weren't these four that were mentioned in the previous Pasuk repeated again? Because they were no longer alive. The Adgazraya, mit the Gidbaraya, mit the Tavraya, mit the Taftaya, were all killed as a result of the, they were burned as a result of the Kivshon Ha'esh, and that's why they're not repeated, and that's what the Gemara said, that the Arba Malchiyos Kra, we have a Raya from the Pasuk. And we continue on. Tani Devei Rebbe Lezer Ben Yaakov, Even when things are misukan, things are very great danger, a person should not lose his special distinguished bearing, which means that a person should not allow himself to look like he's confused and look like he is afraid.
Panicked.
In panic, but rather he should go and continue holding on to his distinguished bearing, including the way he dresses himself. Shenema, like we find by these three, Chanani Mishol Vazaria, Badein Govraya, Elech, Kofsu, Bisar Baleon, Patsheon, Vekarbalosoin. When they were thrown into the Kivshan Eish, they didn't say, well, let's take off our coats and let's take off our jackets. They kept everything intact. Karbaleon is like an outside cloak, an outside coat. Pacheon means their pants. Karbaloson are robes, as we touched the art scroll. So they kept their regal bearing. If you look at the Rashi at the end, six lines from the bottom, Al Yishanim in Arbonne Shaloi, Zokt Rashi, Shari Chanani Mishol Vazari, Hoye Levushin, Big Day Tif Arton, Kishahush Lechu Lekivshin. They wore their royal clothes, the Tiferes, when they were thrown in. Al Yishanish Leyeroe, he should not appear to be Mavuhol, all confused, Umafuchad, and in panic, Umispaishin, Soinam Miponav, and that will help that his sonim, they should be humiliated and shamed from him, that he feels that he is still strong with his distinguished bearing, etc. Pachem Vikabalosan, that's Inyane Malbushan, different types of articles of clothing. They write about Rav Schwab, Zechron Levrucha, who, as you all know, was ruled for many years in Washington Heights, in the Yekisha Gemeinde, that in the middle 1930s, then the SS in Germany started getting very, very tough and very rough, and that from 35 or 36 or whatever, he was the roof in a town, a city in Germany, I don't remember which one, and that every night when he went to sleep, he would sleep in his kapota, sleep in his normal, garb. In his normal garb that he would normally walk with when he would be outside or going to shul, etc.
His frock,
exactly. And they asked him, why does he do that? Because he says he's afraid that the SS are going to go in the middle of the night and they're going to schlep him out of bed and take him out in the streets. And he says it would be a tremendous embarrassment for the Jewish people as well as for the Rabbonis that a Rav should be walking around in his pajamas. So therefore, he always, when he went to sleep, he wore his frock. So if that were to occur and they were to schlep him out, he would at least still have his regal bearing as the Rav of the town. This wouldn't be, you know, demoralizing for all the people there. Look at the Rav Nebuch in his pajamas, etc. And we continue on. Om Rabbi Yochanan, on top of the Amud, says the Gemara. Welcome aboard, Sean. Good to have you. Doylem tzadikim yoyz malach yashores. Tzadikim are even greater than malachim. How do I know? Shenema. One of the Omar, ha anoch hazi guvrin arbo'a sharyan mahalchin begoy nura v'chaval loy isi behoin v'rav yadi reviyasa doma lebar eloy. Obviously, there's a pasuk in Daniel, and the pasuk says that Nebuchadnezzar is saying now that it's with great wonderment and almost disbelief. On the Omar, he started saying, I saw with my own eyes, says Nebuchadnezzar, Guvin Abba, four people. Remember, Chanani Mishol Vazari were only three. But I saw four people. Sharyan, Mahalchin Begoy Nura, that are walking around freely in the Kivshana Eish, V'chaval Le'is behind, and they don't get any Chabura, any Chavola. In other words, they're not even wounded, not even singed, gunished. And V'ravi Di Revi Yavah, and the appearance of the fourth one, Doma, was similar to Lebar Elohim, to a Malach, to that of an angel. And therefore, Rashi says, the fact that the three, Hanani, Mishol, Vazaria, are listed first in the Pasuk, and the Malach only at the end of the Pasuk, is the Chasimim, that Tzadikim are even greater than the Malachim, and that's why he gave preference, or the Tanakh gives preference to those three in precedence in the Pasuk over the Malach. All of the nations of the world came. You see the term Seineim Shal Yisrael, that's always a euphemistic term. It's really referring to Klal Yisrael. And what the Umas Ha'olam did was, when they saw the tremendous nest that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam made, that three Basav Adams went into a furnace, and they all came out totally the same as when they walked in. Unsinged, nothing happened. Pink the kimmer, you know, like a mishkiach. Yoytze v'nichnas, or nichnas v'yoytze. He went in, he came out, nothing changed whatsoever about their appearance. They were not burned, gunished. So then they were so overwhelmed by the Rabbi Shalom. They knew that this doesn't happen on an ordinary basis. It's obviously supernatural, a moifis of the Rabbi Shalom. So they went over to the Yidolach and they gave him tofcho al peneim, like they gave him a patch in punim, as if to say, Omru lahem, yesh lechem avakak kozeh, you have such a holy God, so omnipotent, so great, and you listen to Nebuchadnezzar and bow down to his lousy idol. Are you crazy? Are you stupid? At that point, they started going and saying, you're the one that's 100% righteous, and we're the ones that are ashamed and humiliated. We should have been moisa nefesh, just like Hanani, Mishol, Bazaria, and not bow down to this lousy tzelem. This is referring to Kavi Yochel, the Rabbi Shlom, it's a pasuk in Shira Shirim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I felt such an affection, such a love for Klal Yisrael, that I felt Ele B'Samar, I'm going to go and elevate myself in a tamar, like in a palm tree. Instead, instead of getting the whole palm tree, at least I grabbed hold of a branch. What does this mean? Amarti, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I was hoping, Ele B'Samar, Eli Yisrael, that I'd be able to go and grab hold of the trunk of the tree, of the palm tree, which is a reference to Klal Yisrael. And why is that a reference to Klal Yisrael? So Rashi brings in Gemara Masech Pesukah, that Masech Pesukah says, why do we say Tzadik HaTomer Yifrach? Why do we say Ele B'Samar? What's so important about a palm tree? Says in Gemara, that Ma Tomer Zeh Engli Ele Leiv Echad. It only has one leiv. Now what does it mean it only has one leiv? The heart of the palm tree is where all the sap goes. All the other trees, the sap spreads, especially into the branches of the tree, so that the branches of the tree grow bigger and wider and longer and with all the fruit. But that's not the way Tomer works. All the sap that comes from above stays within the trunk of the tree, and that's what gets bigger and thicker. You don't have a lot of branches on a palm tree, as you know. You see the palm trees in Miami Beach, they're all the branches are all on top, and then we take them off to use for lulavim and or for schach. Not all of them, obviously. But anyway, but the point is that the Tomer, the Gemara says over there, it has a leiv echad, so two Klal Yisrael should have a leiv echad, leviim shebashamayim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I was hoping to find that among the Jewish people, but never so many succumbed to Nebuchadnezzar and bowed down to the tzelem. The Ashavli, Olabiyadi, the only ones that I was able to take from the entire palm tree was Sansan Echad, that's one branch, which, what does that branch represent? Hananya, Mishael, Bazaya, that they were true in their bitochen and their faith in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Om Rabbi Yochanan, why does he say in the Pasuk? Isi halayla, I saw at night, b'nei ish roichiv al sus odom, I saw a person who was riding on a red horse, v'oimid ben hadasim, he's standing there among the hadasim, asher, hadasim, of course, what we have, the myrtles that we use on Sukkis, shebemitzula, which were down in the valley, in the depths. What is this pasuk all about? Now, the Gemara leaves out the next few words, which Gemara will bring shortly, so you might as well fill them in right now. Shebemitzula, the acharov, susim adumim srukim, ulevanim. And after that, there were red and colored horses, ulevanim, and white horses. So, Fatimah, what is this all about? Mayra isi alayla. What does that mean that I saw at night when I ish roichev al sus adam? When the Kadosh Baruch Hu saw how all the Jews at the time of Nebuchadnezzar went and bowed down to the Tzelem, Kadosh Baruch Hu was so upset, he wanted to go and do Avin HaHapachu and turn the whole world upside down from daylight to night. Who is that ish that's riding on the horse? That's Kavi Yochel Rabbi Shalom himself. He was riding on al sus odayin, on a red horse. the odoim is a reference to dam, that it's red. So therefore, Chas v'Shalom, Kadosh Baruch Hu, so angry, Kaviyachov, he wants to turn the whole world into blood. When he saw these great three, Chanan, Mishael, V'Azariah, the Skaritaita, Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger subsided. V'chamasa melech, shochocho. Shneimer, like says in the Pasuk, V'oimeid bein ha'adasim, asher ba'metzulah. That it says Kaviyachov, Vayishol was standing among the hadasim, the myrtles. That's referring to tzaddikim. How do I know that hadasim is tzaddikim? Shneimer, he oimein es hadasa. Who is hadasa that we're referring to? We're referring to Esther Hamalka. So therefore, we're saying just like she was a tzaddikim, the hadasim that we're referring to are also tzaddikim. So who is the? So that's why it says in the pasuk, oimein ben hadasa kadosh baruch hu. Now, Parshat Pshat means Oymed, he was standing. However, the Gemara, the way he interprets it is, Oymed, that Hashem held himself back, Kaviyachol, from turning the world to Dam, or turning the world to Choshech of Laila. That's who Oymed, like Hemedatzmoy, he constrained himself, Kaviyachol, not to go and punish the world, not to punish the Jews, but because of the tremendous chusim of Hanani Mishael Bazar. Asher b'metzulah, b'metzulah means deep into Bavel, because Bavel is lying there in the valley down below, between the mountains. V'yoyimel es hadasa v'yim metzulah v'bavel, sh'nemar, ho'yimel letzulah charvi, v'narisayach oivish miyad, period. So now this is a pasuk referring to Bavel, and it's saying about Bavel, ho'yimel letzulah charavi, the tzulah means again, mimetzulah, down in the depths, Charavi, that they are going to dry out from Lashon Chorev, Benari Sayich, and your rivers, Oivish, will also dry out. So that's how we know that Metzula is referring to Babel. That's where Hanan, Mishael, V'Azariah were, because that's where Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel was. So says the Gemara, Miyad Maleim Roigiz, Nasim Tzurukim V'Adumim, Nasu Levan. That's the end of the passage that we were reading before, the Achrav, and after this, Susim Adumim Usrukim, Hulavan, which means, says the Gemara, that the horses that were following the horse of Kaviyachol by Yishloilim, which was Srukim, Rashi says Srukim means that they were colored, Tzvuim, colored horses, Vadumim, and those that were red, all of them, Nasalabanim, they all changed miraculously from red or from colored to white. Just like you have by the Chatoim, it always says, that they're going to turn white like the snow. So here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that Klal Yisrael had a tremendous chait, the chait of worshipping this tzelem, but b'schus these great three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped away the chait and the red turned to white. Rapapa says, Shema Minah, from this story you can learn. Sus Yechivra, Mali Lechalma. This is a Gemara that's brought in end of Brachos, where you have all the stories about the dreams. So he's saying that if you see in your dream a white horse, that's a good dream. Because that means the Kadosh Baruch Hu hopefully was moichel on all the Averis and all the Chatoim. One of the Mefarshim says that the reason why we talk about Hadassim, as you know, Hadassim are very special, that they have to have three leaves coming out constantly from bottom to the top, right? Mishulash. And therefore that is a remez to the three tzaddikim, Hananiah, Mishael, V'Azariah. They're like the Hadassim that are standing tall and strong and beautiful. The three. Exactly. So the red turned to white. That's very good. Thank you. Okay, so and now the Gemara continues on. Rabbanon lehecha ozlu. Now the Rabbanon that we're referring to are the Hanani Mishael V'Azariah. How did they get the name Rabbanon? So the Mefarshim said, since we said on the last line on the bottom that a person should not be Mishana min harabonis shaloi, from the distinguished bearing, and that was referring to Hanani Mishael V'Azariah, so maybe this was a borrowed term, so we call them Rabbanon. So after the story of their coming out of the Kivshana Eish, says Rashi, we find no more reference to them in the entire Tanakh, and all the Chav Dalet Svar. So what happened to them? So you see that there was a machlekes. Rabban Lehecha Aslu, Amarav Be'ayin Hara Mesu. Unfortunately, they passed away Be'ayin Hara. So the Mefarshim bring that, you recall in Bava Metzia and Daf Kuf Zayin, the Gemara says that Rav said that 99% of all people pass away Be'ayin Hara, 1% pass away from other maladies, from other illnesses, etc. Wow. So Rav holds that the main thing that causes people to pass away is ayin hara. So they too, says Rav, are among that 99% mishol vazari, chayim mishol vazari, that passed away by ayin hara. Ushmul amar b'roik tavu. Literally, that means that they sank in spittle. Now, what spittle did they sink in? What are we talking about? So Rashi says, if you look at the Rashi, about eight lines before the end of the Rashi, on the right-hand side, b'roik tavu, says Rashi, ba'oise roik shirokeku umas ha'olam b'Yisrael. Just like we said before, that the umas ha'olam came and they gave pech to the peinim, to the faces of Klai Yisrael, saying, you have such a great God, and you worshipped this tzelem. So continues Rashi, at the same time, they also spit on them, or spit on the ground. Sho'imim elekah kazeh yesh lechem, v'shtachavisim letzelem, you have such an almighty God. It's unbelievable, miracles. And you go and bow down to this lousy idol.
So why should Hanan Nishan Azarias suffer when they're actually the ones who didn't bow down? They're dying in this from the umos olam who are praising them actually, mm-hmm. and now they're dying, they're suffering. It doesn't make sense.
Very good. So now, literally, of course, it means that they died in the spittle. I mean, how much spittle would you need to go and have three
drown
people
them, right.
drown them? You'd need like 10 million people going in and spitting out. So it sounds like this is more derech moshel than that is the real McCoy. And the art school brings from someone, maybe Ben Yehoyot, I'm not sure. He brings that this.
And Ben Yehoyada.
Okay, good. Thank you. That this is really just a marshal. What it really means to say is that they, Hanan Mishol Vazariah, seeing this pile of spittle, they were so mortified. What? This is what the Yidden did. They all bowed down to the Tzelem, and the Goyim realized this, and the Goyim are now being mevazedah with such a humiliating way, and spitting on them, so they were so mortified that they died as a result of seeing that mound of spittle. Not that they went into it or they drowned in it, but rather that they were overwhelmed and mortified by that, and that caused their premature death. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, no, all Eretz Yisrael, forget, they went on Aliyah, they left Babel, and the Nosa Nosha would lead the Banim Ubanis. Why would they have gone out? Presumably, because they were concerned about what Rav was saying by Ayin Hara. What was Ayin Hara? Everybody would look at them, and everybody would want to go and take a selfie with them, and go and say, they're tzaddikim, and they want to go and take the show. So there was a tremendous Ayin Hara that people were saying, these are the guys that were saved by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It was amazing. Really, wow, I can't believe it. So there was Ayin Hara. So that's why they decided the best thing is go Aliyah, let's move out of town. They moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they got back. Kitanai. So the very same machlekes that we said now between these three Amoraim, Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan, is word for word recited in this machlekes in a brisa. Kitanai. Rabbi Lezer oim be'ayin haram, so like Rav said. Rabbi Shua oim be'roi tov, like Shmuel said. V'chamoim ma'olei tzitzel, v'nasa nashim, v'hoi lidu bono v'vanish, she'en ne'amar, like it said in the pasuk, Shema no Yehoshua ha-koyin ha-godlo. Yehoshua, obviously not Yehoshua ben-Nun, but this Yehoshua who was the Kohen Gadol at that time. So the pasuk refers to him, and it says, after you, Pereyecha, and your friends, your colleagues, Hayoshul Fenecha, Kianche Moifesema, the colleagues that are sitting next to you, in front of you, they are people of miracles. Sprengtimor Ezehem and Oshem Shinaslehem Moifes, tell me who the Tanakh be referring to when we say, Anche Moifes, Hayoimezechman Mishov Azariah, that they went to Yerushalayim, and therefore they were sitting in the company of Yeshua Kohen Gadol. I'm going to talk about Yeshua Kohen Gadol more later on the Omid. Break the Omid, the Neil, Lehechan Oslo, where did the Neil go? The Neil, as we know, is a contemporary of Hanan Mishol Bazai, and he was in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. Where was he at this time? We don't see that he was thrown into the furnace, and we can assume that the Neil also did not bow down to the Tzelem. So, where did he go? Simar gives a number of possibilities. Amar Rav, Lemichra Nahara Rabba B'Tveria. The Mephoshim explain that all of the three terutzim that the Gemara is going to give rapid fire one after the other were that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to remove the Neil from the scene. We'll also see shortly in the Gemara that Nebuchadnezzar held the Neil to be such a holy man that he himself, Nebuchadnezzar, bowed down to the Neil as if the Neil himself was a god, was a deity. And what, as we'll see, Nebuchadnezzar was afraid that if Daniel is going to stick around, he's going to have to throw him also into the fire together with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he didn't want that to take place. We'll see it as we go through the month. So instead, he wanted to be off the radar screen, and therefore he sent them away, Lemichanar Rabba B'Tveria, out in Tveria. They needed to go and dig out the old nor or a new nor to unstop it, presumably from whatever junk was ever in there. So he had him go and be one of the diggers out in that river in Tveria. Ushmul Amalasuye Bizra Das Pasta. He sent them away to go and collect seeds to be used for aspasta. Aspasta is a food that you typically give to the animal seed, like cattle fodder, and you grow that. It's similar to tvua, but a more inferior form of tvua called aspasta. Maybe it's alfalfa in English, maybe not. Doesn't make a difference.
It grows faster than regular tvua, right?
Yeah, it grows very quickly. That's great.
We had chazakah, we had the fact that you could have three.
Where do we have that in?
In
Baba Basra. Very good. Anyway, so he sent them to go and get the seeds for the aspasta. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Lasuye Chazirid Alexander Shul Mitzrayim. He sent him to Alexander Shul Mitzrayim to bring back some chazerim, to bring back some porks. Right? No good? You're not happy with that. Frey Timura, what was the purpose of it? So we'll see in a moment the purpose was because Nebuchadnezzar wanted to go and propagate them and have them multiply and then have a whole industry of chazerim in Mitzrayim. So therefore he said, bring back a few with you, and then we'll be able to have a ganze business. Frey Timura, Amy. What purpose would there be in bringing back those chazerim? If it's for the purpose of mating them and then having a whole supply, Vatanan, don't we? Vatanan is a mistake. It's really Vatanan. It's the Chamishna. The Mishnah says, "Toydus a roife Omar ein parav chazir yoyt malfam shemitzrayim shein choitchen im shalom." Anytime that you try to import from Alexandria either a para, a cow, or a chazera, or a pig from Malfam shemitzrayim, you should know she'ein choitchen ein parva chazira she'ein choitchen aim shalom. It's a double negative. Anyone that is exported from Mitzrayim, they make sure to go and cut out the womb and therefore sterilize the mummies. Yes, the mummies.
But there is no competition.
No, so that they cannot reproduce in Chutz Laaretz because they want to maintain
the monopoly
on the poris and chazerim because they were considered to be triple A quality in Mitzrayim and throughout the whole world. Therefore, cut out the womb, do a hysterectomy or hysterectomy, so we don't have a problem, they can't reproduce. Now, if that's the case, then what's the purpose of sending Daniel to Alexander Shemitzrayim to bring them back if they're not going to be able to reproduce anyway? And V'dimar Zutri Aisi B'loi Datayu. He brought home with him small ones, in other words, very young ones, and it didn't occur to them, to the Mitzrayim, that they were going to be used for reproducing. Normally to reproduce, you would go and buy a big fetza, you know, that was already a bar or bas bonim, instead of bringing these small little ones, the little babies. So he said, well, the little babies are probably just going to serve it for bacon or something like that. And therefore they let Neil come and take away a few of them, not realizing. Yeah, okay. Anyway, continue on the more Tanurabban. There were three that were involved, so to speak, when Daniel was absconded and left Nebuchadnezzar and Bovel at that time. Who were the three? Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyoch, the Daniel, the Nebuchadnezzar. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Amen, Nezul, Daniel, Mihacha, Teloy Leimru, Bishusei, Isnatsu, that people should not say, you know why Hanani, Mishael, Vazariah were saved in the Kibshana Eish, was Bishus Daniel, because presumably they'd throw Daniel in as well. All four of them would get saved, and people would say, yeah, Hanani, Mishael, Vazariah, that. Daniel, he was the greatest Rebbe, so the three Hasidim together with him, they were saved, but it's really Bishus Daniel. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted them, Hanani, Mishael, Vazariah, to get all of the credit. But Daniel, Amar Daniel said, Ezel Mihacha, I want to leave, to leave the kind me, they shouldn't be Mekayim in me, they shouldn't say about me. Psile Eliheim Tisrafun Ba'esh. What is this all about? So this is what we said a moment ago, that Nebuchadnezzar was bowing down to Daniel. We'll see that again on the next line. And therefore, people say, you know why he was thrown in the fire by Nebuchadnezzar? Because Psile Eliheim, even their own idols, their own avodah zarah, Tisrafun Ba'esh, they throw into the fire. Says Daniel, I'm not interested. When Nebuchadnezzar Amar, Yozel Daniel Mihach, I want Daniel to leave the scene. To Leilemru, they shouldn't say, Kalya Lelekei Benura, that he, Nebuchadnezzar, burned his own God in the fire. And I would have to go and burn him in the fire because he's not going to bow to the tzelem, and therefore just like Hanan Mishol Gazai, I'm going to have to throw him in the fire, I'm going to have to go and throw him too, and people are going to say, hey, can you imagine? We all saw how he shows such reverence and respect to Daniel that he's bowing to him, and he throws him into the fire. So that would be a sign of great disrespect in Nebuchadnezzar held. So therefore he said, Daniel, the best of Zach is, please leave the city.
Gevek.
Macha Pleiser. How do we know that he bowed down to Daniel? The sixth is the pasuk. Badein Malkin Buchanetzer Nofel Al Anpoi. He fell down on his face. Nafila Sapayim. Daniel Sagin, and he bowed down to Daniel. Therefore, that's one second. That's why he didn't want Daniel on the scene, and that's what the Gemara said before. He either sent him to Tveria to dig out the river, or to go and bring back the seeds of the Aspasa, or to go and bring back a chazer from Alexander Shomitzray. Yes, Simcha.
Quite logically, right?
Yes.
The Gemara says so is Daniel, right? Mm-hmm. So, does it stem? I mean, in terms of chronology, Nebuchadnezzar was the Zayda of Vashti, no?
Yes, that's correct. Of Belshazzar and Vashti, yeah, no. Therefore,
a long period of time, no.
Daniel was ultimately in the Mechseches Megillah. It says that Daniel was the same as Hasoch, and Hasoch was one of the advisors to Esther Malka. So he continued to live. We're going to have a further discussion about Daniel. But in the meantime, at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, he absconded. And we're going to see more about him shortly. Koyimah Hashem Tzvokis L'kei Yisrael, El Achav Ben Kulei, or Kulia, Ve'el Tzidkiyah Ben Masya, Hanibam Lechem B'Shmi L'Shokeh. Now, you know, everybody sees Achav, they automatically assume, oh, this must be King Achav. That was Achav Ben Omri. This is Achav Ben Kulia. Then there was Tzidki HaMelech, who was a good king. However, here's talking about Tzidki ben Masya. These two, this Achav and this Tzidki, coincidentally have the same names as the famous or infamous Achav and the famous Tzidki. But they were Nevi HaSheker. Uksiv, what does it say about these Nevi HaSheker? V'lukach mehem klol l'chol golus Yehuda asher b'bob v'leymar Yisimcha Hashem ki Tzidkiyo uki Achav asher kolem melech bovel be'ish. Period. So, if anybody wants to go and curse someone else and say, you're a no good nick and you're a joke. So people adopted this language that would say, you should get the punishment like those infamous guys, the Achav and Tzidkiyahu, Ashekolein. Kolein Poshup Shat in this pasuk means that they were burned, but the Gemara is going to darshan it. That, well, we'll see in a moment how the Gemara darshans. Anyway, so the king of Babel went and had them burn these two, Nevi Hashekhem. Now the Gemara is now Medayi. It doesn't say Ba'esh Asher Sarfam, it says Ba'esh Asher Kolam, which is a very strange term. But Nemar Ela Asher Kolam, that these two, when they were in the fire, they became like toasted grain, totally toasted and roasted, etc. So that's the Lashon of Kolam. Yan Asher Asher Nevala Bisrael, now why did they deserve to go and be burned? The reason is because they did a terrible Nevala. What was the Nevala? They would go and commit adultery with the wives of their friends. And the Gemara gives an example. My Ovid. Ozel Gabi Brati Nebuchadnezzar. These two, Achav, again, the Achav, this false Novi, together with Tzidkiyah, they would go to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Can you imagine? As a chutzpah to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Achav Omela, Achav said to her, Koyimar Hashem, and the Vias and the name of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashmi'i El Tzidkiyah. Tzidkiyah wants to propose to you, in other words, to live with Tzidkiyah. And Hashem said, listen to Tzidkiyah when he makes that proposal and asks you to live with him. Now we have in the Gemara an expression, Chayshin Legomlin, that we're afraid that one is going to be mutual to the other. The Tzidkiyah Omar, and Tzidkiyah called to that same daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, Koyimar Hashem, Hashmi El Achav. Listen to Achav when Achav comes to you and proposes to live with you. Now, she smelled that something is fishy over here. It's Ozli Omerli Lavoso, she, the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, went to her father and said, Tati, did you hear what I just heard from these two Nevi'im, so-called prophets? Omallah, so Nebuchadnezzar says, I have a Kabbalah that Lekeim shall Elu Soy Nezimahu, that Rabbi Nishlolem hates any type of arroyus, any type of
adultery.
He also the gabach, when these two come to you, when they want to they want to continue with their proposal, send them to me. I'm going to talk to them about the shidduch that we're talking about. Yes, well, we didn't have the Tante Susie today. What did
you
say?
It was late. There's always tomorrow.
Oh, exactly. Mocha yoy says that. Anyway, so Gemara says, ki also the gabach, So when the two, the Achav and the Tzidkiah, came to her, she said, I spoke to my Tati, he's interested in what you have to say. Why don't you go and speak to Nebuchadnezzar? Omelhus and Nebuchadnezzar addressed them. Man Omelachayim, who's the one that suggested Tzidkiah that Achav should go, and Achav that Tzidkiah should go, and that she should go and live with them? Omru, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're Nevi'im. You think we made it up on our own? We heard it from God Almighty Himself. I ask Hanan Mishol Vazari the same thing about these shidduch that you're talking about. Chas v'sholem, what are you talking about? You're not going to do something like that. That's awesome. Omru Lei, so then they said to Nebuchadnezzar, Anan Nami Nevi'i Kavasai, who do you think we are? You think we're small potatoes? We're Nevi'im just like them, just like the Achav and just like Hanan Mishol Vazari. To us, the two loyamar lohu. But the Didan Amalan, after all, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't say it was Nevi'is across the board to all the Nevi'im. So to us, Nevi'im, he told us about this, that we should want to live with your daughter, and that it's a wonderful thing. He didn't tell Hanan Mishol Vazari, he told him other things. He told him a Shtikl Torah and a Toysis, or a Rabbi Kiveger, somewhere in Baba Basra. But to us, he told us, you know, about living. Amalahu, so now Achashverosh said to them, Achashverosh, I'm sorry, I apologize 1,000 times. Yes, Omalahu, I know it was from the wife. Anyway, Omalahu, I know it's Tziki Kimina. Omalahu, I know Be'ina Div Dekinchu, Gehechei Divat Vesinu, Lechanani Mishol Vazaya. That just like, as you saw, I was Boydik, I tested them to see if they're bona fide, that's why I threw them into the furnace. I'm going to throw you into the furnace too, we'll be Boydik. Omalahu, they said, 1 second. Ina Tlasahab, they were three, and therefore the schus of all the three together, that's why they were saved. But not three, we're only two. And if we don't have enough schus, in the Chas v'Shalom, we're all going to die. Amalahus, he said to them, I have a good idea. Go and schlep somebody else with you, so you'll have three. Take a nice guy, and you'll have three. Amalahus, they said, the only person that we can think of is Yeshua Kohen Gadol. That was Yeshua Kohen Gadol that we spoke about before. Obviously, he's a Kohen Gadol. Sabri, Lacey Yeshua, the Nefesh Chusei, Umagnalon. We too, we know that we're both creeps, we're both the Via Sheker. Well, we bring Yeshua, Kohen Gadol, he'll protect us in the Miyat Hashem, and they will have a Yeshua. Achsi Yehu, so the Takesh left Yeshua, Kohen Gadol, all the way from Yerushalayim here to Bavel. Shadinu, Inhu, and Shadinu, they threw all of them into the furnace, all three of them. Inhu, Iklu, those two, of course, like the Gemara said before, Asher Kolin, the Eish, destroyed them, consumed them. Yeshua Kohen Gadol, Ichruche Mane. The only thing that happened was that the bottom of his frock got a little bit singed. Shenema, it says the Pasuk, Yereini es Yeshua Kohen Gadol, Uyme Lefnei Malach Hashem, Uksiv. There's another word in the Pasuk, number 14.
Is this what we read on Chanukah?
Uyme Lefnei Malach Hashem.
Yeah, but something
he's made out. He's kicked Mary Cohen.
Right, famous Hazayud, etc. So the Gemara says, Omulei, Yudana the Tzadikat says now Nebuchadnezzar to Yeshua Kohen Gadol, I see that you're a tzaddik. The other two were consumed by the fire. You come out just with singed garments. Obviously, you're a great man. Ella, my time, Ahanya b'chapurta nura. How come when you went in, you came out? Then your beged was slightly singed. They came in with their big derabonis, like we said before, Sarbalein, Patishayin, Kablosan, and they came out not a scratch, not a singe, not a gurish. Amalaisi said, they were three great tzaddikim, and therefore they were making on each other. I'm only one guy, because the other two, as we know, were Nevi'a Sheker, so they're worthless. So I didn't have enough schusim, and that's why my beged got a little bit singed. Omalei, Avram Yochad Hava. Avram Avinu was a Yochad when he was thrown into the Kivshin Ha'esh, threatened by the Gabe Nimrod. So he threw him into the face, right, Bazoi, and apparently he came out also unsinged. Hosamli Avrishon Bade. Here Avram Avinu was the only tzaddik and nobody else went with him. And therefore the Esh had no right to go and do anything to Avram Avinu. Unfortunately, these two guys, this Acham and this Tzidkiah, both a bunch of bums. They propose they want to go and live with the daughter of the Znus, and they got some ice. So therefore, these are really no good nickers. So the Eish had the right, had the authority to go and burn them, and maybe the Eish went a little bit further and singed my begotten as well. That's why people have an expression. If you have two Udim, and Udim, this connection means like a splinter of wood, which is nice and dry, and therefore it's excellent for firewood for burning. V'chadrut, even you have one ud, which happens to be nice and moist, oita yevesh l'rtiva, the two will overwhelm the one. Right? If you ever, when camp many years ago, if you ever made a campfire, so you had some nice, good firewood, and then you had some other stuff which was moist, which was from a fresh wood, from a tree or something that fell, or a branch that fell. And those, of course, would be the most difficult to burn because it was still moist and fresh. However, ultimately, the two yevashim will overcome the retiva, and eventually that will burn as well. See, here too, the two rishoyim overwhelmed the tzaddik, and that's the reason why
it's called
the kodi got sick. Then that's what he told Nebuchadnezzar. But lemais my time yanish, why takin the Rebbeinu Shalom allow for his begotten to get singed? Amra papa show you bonav nois and noshish in the gunas takuna. He, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, had children, and they married women that were not hogin lakuna, meaning either a grusha or, for instance, a geiris that a Kohen is now let go and marry, and therefore, so he got partially punished. And what did he do wrong? They did wrong. And he should have been moicha against them. That his begodim were tzoyim, that means that they were dirty, they were filthy. After all, he's a Kohen Gadol, he has to go out to Malchus. He can't go around with dirty garments. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that this is perhaps b'derech moshel. Because after all, when you think of a Kohen Gadol, what's the immediate thing that you think of? The begotten, the beautiful big kahuna. You see, think of the choshen and the eifod. You see the avnei miluim and the avnei cheshev and all that. Exactly. It's already a repetition. We already had this before. Exactly. Anyway, so that's what you think of. Since the children soiled the kahuna, in a sense, by marrying people that were not roi to them, a grusha or a geyaris and the like. So therefore, that already soiled his begotten as well, that nobody looked at Pan Yeshua Kohen Gadol with that same reverence and dignity that they did earlier, realizing that he had those children, that he was not moicha. So that's the lashon of the begotten type. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Rus and Boyas. And you'll see shortly why. Omer Tanchem, Dorish Bar Kapara, V'tzipoyi. Maita see what it says in the Pasuk, that Boaz gave to Rus Sheish Hasoirim O'Ela Nosali. This is Rus speaking to Naomi and saying that I received these six barleys from Boaz. Now, my Sheisoirim, what does it mean Sheisoirim? Ilayim Sheish Soirim Mamish. We mean six barley corns, in other words, like six stalks of grain of barley.
Pretty meager.
Hidarka Shel Boaz Litim Matan Sheisoirim. After all, Boaz was, you know, a fairly wealthy individual. He was also Ivtson, which he was one of the Nevi'im and one of the Shoftim, and therefore Shoifit, therefore he was a big person in Klal Yisrael. He's going to give this little, it's as if she's going to come back. And he says, he gave me this bag of potato chips. I mean, that's a matana that you give to Rus and to bring back home. And she said, we're talking about 6 on, which is a huge amount. How do I know it's Sheisoirim? Says Rashi on the top, on the right-hand corner, says Rashi, because we're talking about that she brought it from the Beis HaGoyren, and the Beis HaGoyren, that was the typical quantity that you would find. You wouldn't talk about Sheish Kavin or Sheish Lugin, because in a Goyren, that would be too small to go to a Goyren for purposes of
Matanos.
Matos Aniyim. Okay, but for purposes of the Goyren, why do you go to the Goyren to go and take off the chaff and to go and separate it?
You're going to get Chuma and Meister and everything.
Eventually. So the point is that it would be a very, very meager amount to go. If you're going, for instance, to a mill to go and grind something for you, you wouldn't take along 5 ounces or something. You would go and take a few pounds of whatever that you want to go and grind. So if you're going to the goyren to process, you're not going to take a small amount, you're going to take a large amount. So therefore, what did he do? So Boaz gave to Rus 6 sa'in. Now the question is, Chidarka Shalisha Lito Sheish Soin. Sheish Soin, that's a heavy masa, says Rashi. Lisa Masi Kazeh. How much is a so? A so is the equivalent of 144 eggs, 12 dozen eggs. And now they're quite expensive as well. But putting aside the expense, can you imagine 6 times 144 eggs? This would be quite a bit. If you're talking about 12 times 12, that's 12 dozen. 6 times that's 72 dozen eggs. How is she going to go and schlep 72 or a dozen eggs in her arms?
Is this exaggerated?
It's not exaggerated, but it's very exciting to receive such a present. It's very exceptional. It's El Rame Remez Rav Mazla. The whole purpose of this is to go and tell you a Remez, Shasin and Shisha Banu Lotzis Mimena, that she, Rus, eventually have six descendants. Shemiz Borachim, Beshesh, Shesh Brachas. Each one of them is going to have six special blessings. Now, what does it mean that they're going to have six special blessings? So, the Gemara doesn't go into the Krah that much. Rashi Abisala, that if you go back to the Psukim in Rus, you'll see over there that this Shesh is repeated twice, and one is referring to the six sa'in, and also the six barley coins. So she, in fact, she got both. The six big ones, the six sa'in, together with the sheish sa'in. So why did you have six and six? To tell you that she's going to have six descendants, and each one is going to have six brachas. Who are the six descendants? Elohim, David. We know David, of course, was the Einikel of Rus. Mashiach, because Mashiach is an Einikel of David and Melech. And Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria. All of these six together.
Were Mishpucha?
They were Mishpucha, cousins, second cousins, third cousins. They were all Einikluch of Rus.
They descended from her,
exactly. Tachsiv, like it says in the Pasuk, Beyan Echad Mehani Arim. Now we're referring to David HaMelech in particular. David Tachsiv, how do we know that he was blessed with six brachais? Says Gemara, because Echad Hana Arim, the Gemara is going to identify Echad Mehani Arim shortly as being Doeg. Doeg was one of the major assistants to Shaul, and he said to Shaul, Shaul at that time was very depressed because he had lost a bunch of battles, and therefore Doeg said, the best person to go and lift your spirits would be to go and bring in David HaMelech, who wasn't Melech at that time, because of his many talents and qualities, which the Pasuk is going to enumerate. So Vayam Echa Meinar. So now Doeg says to Vayomer, and he says to Shaul, Hine Re'isi, oh, by the way, you're looking for someone special. I saw Ben Li Yishai, the son of Yishai, meaning of course David HaMelech, Beis Alachmi from Beis Lechem, and he has Yodea Nage, number
musician.
One. Yeah, good. Everybody knows what it means. Yodea Nage is one, Gibor Chayil is two, Ish Mocham is three, Novein Dover is four, Ish Toyer is five, Vashem Imoy is six. He has these six qualities. V'yom Rav Yira Marah, Kalapasik Azeh Li'omroi Doyeg El B'loshan Harah. The reason why Doeg gave all these qualities is because he was saying Lushan Har. Now, none of these things are bad, obviously. But Lushan Har explains Rashi means he wanted that Shaul should hear all of this and have a tremendous kinna and sinna and saying, who is this guy, this stomach? You know, he has these qualities. Maybe he might be a danger to the king. He might be a competition to the king. So he would have tremendous kinna and tremendous jealousy of David HaMelech, and therefore he figured, let's get Shaul a little bit jealous of him, and maybe eventually he'll kill David HaMelech, etc.
Anyway, he shouldn't harp on it.
Good, very good. So that's the first one. Yodea Nagin. We heard before from Dari. We just heard from Shelley. That means a musician. No, that was really referring to Shiyodea Lishol. All of the Gemara is going to touch each one of these six malas having to do with Torah. Therefore, Yedei Nagin means Yedei Lishol. He knows how to ask good to kashas, good to shtar kashas in the shiurim when the Rabbanim are giving a drush or a shir. I can good frag. Now, what does Nagin have to do with learning? So Barry will remind you from the Toises here in the Maseches Megillah.
But Yochanan Boaz says that there was the Mishnayos were set to tune, so you'd be able to memorize them like a song.
Very good. The Gemara says over there, Shoina Blay Zimra, Kilo, something, and the Gemara says something that night.
Yeah, sorry? His music was in his noggin.
It was his noggin, yeah. Anyway, so he, knowing how to go and sing and knowing how to play music, that lends itself to that he knew how to go and learn. Gibor, it said after that in the Pasuk Yedei Nagin, Gibor Chayil, Gibor Sheyedei Lahoshiv. Not only could he ask Kashis, he knew how to answer. In other words, there are a lot of people, Kashim, and Fregen, Tozen Kashis, and you ask them to have an answer, they don't know anything. So he was a Grois Tamar Chochem, both on the asking end and on the receiving and the answering end. Ishmael Chamish Yedea, Lisa Velita Mocham Teshoteira. He was a strong Gibor in learning that he can go and match anybody in terms of, you bring a Rai from Kimeg, I'll bring a Rai from Samplek, you bring a Rai from Rabbi Yedos, I'll bring a Rai from Negev Yehuda, you bring a Rai from Yomoshe, I'll bring a Rai that. And they kept on going back and forth many, many times. Now the pasuk continues on Ish Toyar Shemara, but the reason why the Aleph is he's just reversing it, not that he's taking it out. If you want to look at the Maseres Hashas, the Novin Dover, the reason why the Maseres Hashas changes around because that's the order of the pasuk that we had before. Because according to our gears in the Gemara, we're skipping over Navan Dover, going to Ishtoyar, and then we come back to Navan Dover. So instead of making this Venahapachu, the Messer Shas reverses it. Venavan Dover, Shemevan Dover, Mitech Dover. That means you go and give the person knowledge, and then he uses that in a very wise fashion to be able to go and understand the next step and how to differentiate between this and that, the other thing. This is a Maven Dover, Mitech Dover. Ishtoyar, Shemar Eponim Ba'alocha. That you can see that when it comes to Halacha, he has a big say, and he can go and show his references and what the Halacha is. And finally, it says in the end of the pasuk, Hashem imay shalacha kamoyis b'chol makim. Whenever David HaMelech issued a psak, that was ironclad, that was concrete. You never have to worry. Kamoyis b'chol makim. Period. When Shaul HaMelech heard all of these things, he had, of course, a tremendous jealousy. And he said, Bekulu Amalahu, about all of them, he said about himself, Shaul, Yohinesim Beni, my son, Yohinesim, Kamoyu. That he's just like that. You're telling me, Yodea Lishol, my son knows how to ask good tagashes. Yodea Lahashiv, I can give good terutsim. He can be a noisim, Macham Tashal Teira, all else is good. However, Kim the Omele, when he told him Hashem Imai, then he was burning mad. He was upset. He was furious. He himself, Shaul, didn't have this madrega of Hashem Imai, meaning Shehalacha Kimoise B'chol Mokin. Cholish Daitain, as a result, he had Chalisha Sadas. He was depressed. The Kanye Bey, and he had a tremendous skin against David HaMelech. Where do we see that he didn't have this madrega of Hashem Imai? Of that ma that he's halacha kamois b'chol makan. The b'shol ksiv by Shaul HaMelech it says b'chol hashiyif neyashia. Anytime he would turn. Of course, this could be talking literally and in terms of pshat, in terms of battling against the enemies. However, the Gemara is learning b'chol hashiyif. Now, whenever he would turn a page of the Talmud and he would go and learn more, yashia, he always made mistakes. Mm-hmm. When he would issue a psak, after that, all the other rabbanim, if there were other rabbanim at the time, would go and tear it up and say he doesn't know what he's talking about. Whatever he did, he had a hatzlacha. Mind you, there is no such pasuk in the Torah b'chol hashiyif neyatzliach. Therefore, the Maseres Shas and Bei says that one should probably change the gersa. He David b'chol drachem maskil v'Hashem imay. Oh, b'chol drachem maskil. So that's similar to this pasuk, and that's what the Maseres Shas says. Perhaps you should change the gersa. Anyway, so therefore he. Shaul was now upset at David, and we know that they had an ongoing fight after that. Freiti Mori, you started off by telling me that this Vayan Echem Mehane Orim, but that was Doig, we know the Doig, how you know it was Doig? Ksiv Hacha Vayan Echem Mehane Orim, Echot Mehane Orim means Miyuchet Shemen Orim, the special one, not just any one of them. Echot, Miyuchet, special. Ksiv Hasem, Vishem Ish, Viavdi Shaul, Viyay Mahu, Netzo Lefnei Hashem, Ushmoy Doig, Wadoimi, Abir Horoim. Abir means the mighty one of the shepherds. Asher l'shol, that belonged to Shaul. So therefore he was Echad u'miyuchad. So the other pasuk when it's Echad u'miyuchad, it means Doyeg. He was talking bad about David to Shaul. We find elsewhere, we're going to have more about Doyeg in our parak, that Doyeg was also the one that caused the demise and the murder of Neivir Kehanim. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Neivir Kehanim went and helped out David HaMelech when he was fleeing, that they gave him some food to eat. So Doyeg snitched to Shaul, and Shaul says, no, let's, what do you suggest? And Doeg says, let's get rid of all of them. Mm-hmm. So Doeg was not a nice guy.
And that's why the Mishnah says,
how many adjoices were there? How many adjoices?
Four, three or four.
Arboa adjoices, Bilam, Doeg, Achitoy from Gechazi. So Doeg is one of them. We're going to talk about all four of them more.
We learn from this that we're introducing someone, we shouldn't overdo the praise and the recognition.
You can if you mean well, if you mean in a positive way. Right. Here he meant in a negative way.
But it may have the negative effect.
Negative ramifications.
You missed that Lashon Hara is 99% of the cause.
Ein Hara is 99%. It's Lashon Hara, Ein Hara. But both of them are bad. Anyway, let's continue on. Dr. Moravite Mashiach. So we said that there are six sons, six descendants of Ruth. Each one of them had six qualities. So the number two, we just finished with David, now we're talking about Mashiach. Mm-hmm. The noch all of Ruach Hashem, that he will be Zoichi, he's going to have Ruach HaKodesh. How many was then? So the Pasuk says, Ruach Chochmo Vina, that's two. Ruach Heitze Gvura is four. Ruach Das V'Yir Hashem is six. He's going to have these different Ruchais, Chochmo Vina, Heitze Gvura, Das V'Yir Hashem. Okay, so that's The Gemara says, oh, that's fine, we have six, good. But right before that, there's a pasuk, v'harichoi b'yiras Hashem, that he's going to have v'harichoi. Now, you all probably sense that the word richoi probably comes from reach, that he has that smell, that scent of yiras Hashem. However, initially the Gemara is going to darshan that differently. If you notice, if you have the four and the five here on the side, Torah R, that the pasuk Ruach Hashem, Ruach Chacham Bina, Ruach Eitzah Gvura, that's Yishayahu Yud Aleph Beis, and then the following pasuk is V'haricha B'yiras Hashem, that's Yud Aleph Gimel. So the question is, V'os meintes haricha B'yiras Hashem, Amrib Ksandri, Lam Shetinoi, Mitzvahs V'yisurin Kerechayim. When Hashem will go and eventually bring the Mashiach, he's going to be laden with, Etina means as if he's carrying on his shoulders.
Tina Prika.
Correct, yeah, very good. Mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael, and that's why we're being zoichet that the Mashiach should come, but also the Yisurim that we have been suffering throughout the ages, that he's also going to shoulder some of those burdens from Klal Yisrael. Kirei Chayim, like a millstone. What means like a millstone? You find in Maseches Kiddushin, the Gemara says also over there that Rechayim mitzavara v'yasik b'toira. The Gemara is talking about what's better, when should learn first and then get married, or when should get married and then continue learning. So Rechayim mitzavari, the Gemara uses as an expression that he has these burdens of now having to support a family, v'yasik b'toira, should they be yasik b'toira first and he should get married second. That's a discussion there in Maseches Kiddushin. So we see from there that the word Rechayim millstone means a heavy burden on a person's life. Rav Omar, d'moirach v'do'in. Ah, so until now we said V'harichoi is a lashon of Rechayim, a heavy millstone. He says, Rabbi, no. Moirach means that the Mashiach, will have a tremendous sense of smell, V'doin, that he'll be able to be dan a din Torah without even looking or referring to the evidence. He'll just see the people in front of him, and he'll smell who's telling the truth, who's telling the lie.
See who can pass the smell test.
Oh, very good. Ooh. Sorry? Tachsiv, like it said in the pasuk. He's not going to need to go and see evidence and documents and presentations and affidavits. Nah. He'll see, he'll look at him. Many of you may remember my uncle, Blazer Schreiber, who used to daven with us. He used to learn with us for many, many years. He was a fourth generation Ben Achmen of the Hedek Chassam Sofer. He had an older brother by the name of Abram, Reb Abram Schreiber. Abram Schreiber was a very fascinating individual. When he was young, in the 1930s, Reb Chaim Oizer came to, I think it was to Vienna, where they had there the Knesset Gedoyla at that time, and Reb Chaim Oizer came by himself. I don't think he had any children, and therefore they asked Abram Schreiber, at that time was a bucher, that he should go and drive him around and take him everywhere. He should be like his gabbai. Fine. Anyway, so he did that, and he did it very, 24/7. Reb Chaim Oizer, whatever, Reb Chaim Oizer considered one of the Gedoyli Adar. And after the few days were over, and Reb Chaim Moshe is going home to Vilna, so he gave a bracha to Abram Schreiber, and the bracha was, Shebezoichat Arichas Yamim. And he said, Rebbe, how much is Arichas Yamim? He told him, 100 years. Shebezoichat to live to 100. So, Baruch Hashem, Amen, Shkoyach. Anyway, in the 1950s, now 20 years further, here, Abram Schreiber is here in America. He was deathly ill, deathly ill. He was in Mount Sinai Hospital. All the doctors, all the nurses, all the king's soldiers, all the king's men said, call the Chevra Kadisha, it's just a question of hours or days or whatever. Anyway, he had a major surgery, Baruch Hashem, he lived, and he lived to the ripe old age of 102. In other words, he lived into the 2000s, I remember whether it was 20 years ago, 25 years ago, but he lived another 50 years, and he said that he outlived all of the doctors and all the nurses that said he's going to die. He's Baruch Hashem, he's still alive, and they were never called.
That's one true Rofe.
One true Rofe. So now, why don't bring Abram Schreiber? Because Abram Schreiber was famous in the diamond business. He was on 47th Street. And then somebody once asked Abram Schreiber, tell me, are you really such a maven in stones that you see the stone and you understand exactly the cut and the carriage and how wealthy and how good and how bad and the da 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 da? No. So they said, then how do you make business?
You look at the person.
He says, Ich kick mich auf den Stein, ich kick auf den Mensch. I look at the coiner, I look at the customer, look at his eyes. Does he want to buy it? Doesn't want to buy it? What a desire he has. With that, I know how much I should charge him and how much should we. This is before the Rappaport list. So that's the same thing over here. The Moirich V'doyen, the Mashiach can look at the litigant to know exactly, he smells, he passes the smoke test, who's telling the truth, who's not telling the truth. I don't need any witnesses, I don't need any documents, nothing. I know exactly who my customer is over here, V'doyen, and then he would be done and he would issue the correct psak.
Well, half deal, that's what the president says.
Our president today?
He acts the same way. Okay. He knows it.
Yeah, but you can't, it's not jurisprudence though. You have to address the Chakira, Adam. I mean, it's very nice, but it's not.
Anyway, this is what the Gemara says. It doesn't say that he didn't listen to witnesses, he didn't have all
but the really, he was really guided by his intuition.
It wasn't necessary. As soon as they came in, within 2 minutes, he understood what the conclusion was going to be. But yes, we went through, the lawyers have to make money afterwards, so we allow them to go make their presentations and the witnesses, but it wasn't necessary. When he'll be shoyfit, he doesn't need to see the evidence because he smells it. He was able to be shoyfit betzedek. He was able to issue righteous rulings, judgments, because he knew what was going on. He knew with a clarkite exactly what was going on. Now that's the real Melech HaMashiach. He will have that tremendous mala, that tremendous meter. So now the Gemara tells us about Bar Kuziva, otherwise known as Bar Kochva. Bar Kuziva, Bar Kochva lived, as we know, after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, and he was the last holdout against the Romans at the time. And he, unfortunately, everybody, many of the Chachmei Yisrael at that time were convinced that he is the Melech HaMashiach, because after all, just like there was a first Beis HaMikdash that was Chorev, 70 years later we had a second Beis HaMikdash, so they figured the second Beis HaMikdash was Chorev, shortly thereafter, Mech Hashem will be a third Beis HaMikdash. No one ever dreamed that it would take close to 2,000 years, and we still don't have the Binyan HaBayis HaShlishi. But I'm not Hashem B'kor HaMamish, maybe still today, Halavai. But anyway, based on what's going on in Eretz Yisrael now, Mashiach looks like it's on the way sooner or later. So what does it say about Bar Kuziva? The Molach Tartin Shinin Upalga, he was king for 2.5 years. Amul Rabban, and he said, Ano Mashiach Ben Dachl Mashiach. And in fact, that's how he got the name Bar Kochva, because the Gemara says elsewhere that something, Dorach Koichem Miyakov, that a shining star is going to arise, and they figured he's the shining star, he's the Mashiach. Anyway, Omerle, they told him, the Mashiach says, the Moirach, the Doyen, that all he has to do is smell, and then he knows who's the right guy and who's the wrong guy. Nechzianan, Imarech V'Doyen, let's go and see. And they asked him to be a judge, and they gave a couple of cases, and guess what? Kim the Chazir, the Loy Morach V'Doyen. Hitaka was not able to pass the smell test. Katlu, they killed him. On the surface, it sounds like that the Yidin himself killed Bar Kochva. Other Chazal and say, however, who was killed by the Romans. So either you say that there is now a Machloikis, a Sugis, or the Midrashim say he was killed by the Romans, or they're saying that Katlu, that they demoted him from Kiddush Asai.
From his Machus.
Right, exactly. And he's no longer called the Bar Kochva. He's no longer the great golden star. And back to Bar Kuziva.
The fact that we quote Bar Kuziva here and not Bar Kochba shows that he's the final verdict.
He has been demoted.
Right.
And the Lashon Kuziva could also come from Lashon of Kozov, that the whole thing is baloney, it's false. And what happened subsequently, he was killed by the Romans. Kalu doesn't necessarily mean by the assembled at that time. Mm-hmm. Could be Kalu by the Romans. Anyway, so we've discussed so far two out of the six descendants of Rus, with each one having six brachas. Who are the four remaining? Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. It says about them, Asher, Ein, Behem, all four of them, they didn't have kol ma'oim. The word ma'oim here is read like mum,
right,
but it comes from the word ma'uma. That means not even a scintilla, not even a 1% of a mum. Agunish, not even a cut. V'toy v'mara, and they were very handsome. U'maskil b'chol chachman, very smart, gris ha'seichel. V'yoy deidas, u'mevin e'mada, on the surface, it looks like there's seven, but lamdam the ashem bem koyach goes together. In other words, aim bem kol ma'um is one, tevim mar is two, maskil mechol chacham is three, yodas is four, mevine mad is five, vashe koyach behem lamed beheichal amelcha lamed sefer loshen kazim is six. All of those go together. So, frey timara. Now let's analyze my asha aim behem kol ma'um. Timara changes the ma'um to mum because it wants to go and focus on the fact that he didn't have any mum, any type of blemish whatsoever. Reb Chama, Reb Chanina, not Bar, but Reb Chananya. Afila Kariv the Kusil to Lehav Behu. They were so gesund that they never even had to go to those blood letters. As you know, in the good old days, right. The person had high blood pressure. They didn't have high blood pressure medicine. So then we'd go to a person who was a make his dam, and that was his profession, and he would go and make a little hole, like mm-hmm. Nowadays, if you're getting a shot, vaccine, you're not to do that, because it's against the health.
Is that the pshat,
yeah. So the pshat is that they made a little hole, and from that, they would go and pump out the person's blood, that would relieve the person from his blood pressure. Mm-hmm. So they didn't even have such a small little hole in their shoulders, in the veins, for that bloodletting, because it wasn't necessary. They never needed to go to a doctor. Dr. Yomara, my vashakoyach behem lavet behechal malach. What does that mean? Amr b'chamav b'chaninim malamit shoyu unzenes atzman menaschoyke menasicha menashino malamid nal atzman b'shoshes rochem kleim neimis malchus. It showed the tremendous reverence and respect that they showed to Nebuchadnezzar, to the Melech, that in koyach behem lavet. Lamed doesn't only mean physically that they were able to stand, but also means that they withstood the pressures that normally go along with standing idly for a long period of time. What were those pressures? They never smiled. They didn't schmooze one to the other.
They didn't look at their iPhones either.
They probably took it away and they put it downstairs. The guard was holding on to it. They didn't fall asleep. They had to go to the bathroom and they would hold themselves in. So that's the Asher koyich behem lamed behechal. Right, vayu behem mimnei Yehuda Daniel Chananya Mishael Vazayu. Now the two ways of learning the pasuk. Pasuk pshat is that they were all mimnei Yehuda, all four. Daniel Chananya Mishael Vazayu. However, Amr Abluza kulam mimnei Yehudaim, like we just said, like all four. However, Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Daniel mimnei Yehuda Chananya Mishael Vazayu Mishael Shvatim. Therefore, you're learning the pasuk. After the word Daniel, you have to go and put in
a comma
or a semicolon that Bnei Yehuda was Daniel. And besides that, we're also going to show Vazai. Who were they from? They were Shar Shvatim. And Rashi already points out that this is different than the Chazal that we're saying at top, that all of them came from Rus. Because Rus, of course, came from the Shevet Yehuda, and that's why David HaMelech came from Shevet Yehuda, etc. So the fact that we're saying that they're from Shar Shvatim is a simon that this is in disagreement with what we said at the top, that they were descendants of Rus, then they would also be from Shevet Yehuda.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't say by you b'nei Yehuda Daniel Uchananya. There's no vav before Chananya to set it off.
Is that good or bad?
That's missing. So it's missing. It should have a vav if it's going to say a Chananya Mishnah Azaria. We're not are separated off at the semicolon, mm-hmm. as you're saying. There should be a vav in front of the first of the three names. And it doesn't have it, so it's actually.
Do you like the first pshat?
I like the first pshat because
I love that pshat too. Okay. I love the second pshat as well. And machlokes is whether after Daniel you put your semicolon if you don't. So don't be upset. Either way, you have somebody great that you can rely on. So Reb Loza said they're all Bnei Yehuda, and Reb Shmuel Ben Achmeni said no, Daniel Bnei Yehuda. That they're going to be sarisim. Now, sarisim in English is a fancy word called eunuch.
Eunuch.
E-U-N-U-C-H.
Eunuch.
A eunuch. Yeah, these are very unique when you're a eunuch.
And he couldn't have chosen.
And unfortunately, that means that he was sterilized or castrated by the kingdom. What's the reason why? Because they want them to be as devoted to the Malchus as possible. Someone that is able to reproduce, he's going to have
distractions
with his wife or with other, perhaps. And therefore, he wanted him to have no other distractions, so they made them into Sarisim Nebuch Rahman al-Islam. So now the Gemara is asking, my Sarisim, Rabbi, I'm Sarisim Amish, they're talking the Poshim Shad, that they were talking Nebuch castrate and they were not able to reproduce, etc. Rabbi Hanina, Amash, and his stars, Abelizor, be made. Obviously, a much better explanation that Avazar became sterile in their days, because we're talking about Chanai Mishol Vazari and Daniel, and then when they didn't bow down to the Heichel, to the Tzalem, and they were saved, the three of them were saved from the fire of the Nebuchadnezzar, so then many people looked upon the Avodah Zarah as being the Sechal Spist and Shtusim and Narish and Da, and they threw it out in the garbage, except for those that were getting paid by either lobbyists or by the government, by whatever departments that are now being eliminated. Anyway, so that's the lashon of sarisim, either in a negative sense or in a very positive sense. It's bishlam the mani v'nishrashu avzerbi mayim haindachsiv v'chaval lo isa b'hayim. Then I understand what we said before, that they were pure, no mum, no mum, nothing, no chavala,
right.
Because everything is fine. However, lemad yom sarisa mamish, my chaval lo isa b'hayim, what does that mean? So t'yemara chavla denura. When it says chaval lo isa b'hayim, means that the fire did not affect them. That we brought the pasuk back in the Amud Aleph, that we saw that the three went into the fire,
right.
And they came out totally intact, and nothing happened to them.
Mm-hmm. Abraham, Davina.
Yeah, that as well. But if you go back to the Amud Aleph, you see in the second and third line from the top, this is when Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah were in the Kivshon HaEshin, Ana v'Omar, and he, Nebuchadnezzar, said, Ana chazi, governor boy, see four. The three plus the Malach, Shari and Mahalach and the Gemura, they're walking around there in the Kivshon HaEsh. B'chaval le'isa b'hayim, there's no chavala, that they're not even burned or singed, gunish. Oh, so that's what we were referring to. We're not referring to the mass of the Ma'um of the Riv, the Kasulta. We're referring to that chaval. So Rashi asks, or other Mefarshim ask, why did we have to go back to the Omer Aleph? We just had now 10 lines ago. Mm-hmm. Then when we were discussing the Neil Chanaim Mishol Bazari, it says Hashem Behem Kol Ma'um. They didn't have any mum, nothing, not even kiriv the kasilta, gunished. So, but here they're nistarsa. The answer is because this may have happened subsequently. Meaning, first we described what wonderful midos and talents and how great they were, and then when the Nebuchadnezzar took them to go and be in the Heichal HaMelech, then he was mistaris them. So therefore, this pasuk Hashem Mem Kol Ma'um preceded historically the later episode. But over here, when they throw in the Kibshon Eish, by this time they were already nistaris, if they were nistaris. So therefore, fake Dimara. However, if you're going to go and tell me that they were Sarisa Mamish, so you have a problem. Says Yomara, it's Chavdan and Nura, that they didn't have any fire that affected them because they came out totally intact, pure from the fire. But it says another pasuk, v'reich nur loy adas b'hem. So it sounds like that other pasuk is telling us that the fire didn't affect them. Why would they have them sukkim to tell us both chaval loy isa b'hem, they weren't affected by the fire, and the reich nur and the smell of the fire also didn't affect them? So shemara loy chavav loy reicha. The pasuk, the two pasukim are telling us not only weren't they burned, but you couldn't even smell any smoke. In other words, when they came out of the Kivshon HaEsh, you would figure at least you'd smell the garment, so you have to take it to the cleaners,
right.
Because not that
it,
but because of all the smoke, and you have to, well, you at least put them on the line for a week till the air finally airs out the clothing. No, goonish. It really passed the smell test. They were not burned, they're not singed, nothing, not even smell, no smoke whatsoever. Bishlam and Yomish Dart and Bizarre may hind us that was impossible. We say this always, this is the Haftorah by a Tanesim. So they're really, they're very close to Hashem, the Shem Shabbos, and all the rest. So, Nistar Savoid Zorbi Main. Avoid Zorah was discarded, thrown in the wastebasket. Why would the pasuk say Koyimar Hashem la Sirisim Hashishu Mishoshoy say like Hanan Mishol Bazari and Daniel talk about them as being Sirisim? That's the way you refer to them. You refer to them as, you know, the Gedolim, the Tzadikim, the Kedoshim, not refer to them as the Sirisim. They unfortunately had both. In other words, on the one hand, according to this man Yomar Nistarsu, but on the other hand, Nistarsu Avoy Zombi Meim. So this pasuk is now praising them that as a result, Hanan Mishol Bazai, that Avodah Zarah was abolished in many places. Bishlam and Amadiyam Sarisa Mamishain Rechsev, Beveis Vokosai, Yod Vashain, Toiv Mibonim Ubimonais, that you're going to have a permanent name, that's how, of course, Yad Vashain got its name, Bechmeis Rima Yod Vashain, Toiv Mibonim Ubimonais, because unfortunately they're not going to have children because they're Sarisim, so the name that they're going to leave, their legacy is going to be even greater than the Bonobonis. Lamandiyam Shadazam Bajum Rimeyam, my Toiv Mibonim Ubimonais, when they had Banu Banas. So why is the Pasuk saying that there's going to be a Yad Vashem greater than Banu Banas? They had Banu Banas.
Mm-hmm.
That even children they had previously, unfortunately, all passed away. So not only could they not have their own children because they were never castrated, but also even earlier children. My shame, oilam etin lo yeshel leikaris. What does that mean? Amr tamcha dorish bar kapara v'tzipori. Zasev Daniel shenikra al shemoi. That the shame oilam yeshel leikaris, that this name will remain forever. That's a save Daniel that's called on his name. One of the Meforshim says that what's the gematria of the word sefer? Samach is 60, pei is 80. 60 and 80 is roughly
140.
And then resh is 200. 200, 140 is 340 altogether. Mm-hmm. That's much of sefer, 340. And then the word shame, much easier. Shin mem, shin is 300. Mem is 40, is 340. So the shame that we're talking about, the shame, olam etzanway, that I gave him a sefer, al shemay. I see this in one of the Svarim, in one of the Sefers. So therefore, wow, that's how Daniel retained his title and his greatness, and that he has a Sefer Daniel al Shemai. The Sefer Ezra, most of it was composed and said by Nehemiah. Nehemiah ben Chachaliah, my timely Ikri, Sifra Shmei, how come he doesn't have his own Sefer? Right. Today, we do have Ezra and Nehemiah, right, and that was made by the Gentiles. According to us, Chazal always referred to Sefer Nehemiah as Sefer Ezra.
Right.
It's just a much longer Sefer, not two parts of Nehemiah, it's one long Sefer Ezra. So how come he wasn't Zoycha to get on his name, because unfortunately he took credit for himself. What was the credit for himself? Remember me, I'm a great guy, said Nehemiah by himself. Mm-hmm. Since he was somewhat arrogant in making that statement, mm-hmm, therefore, you don't deserve a name. Mm-hmm. David Nami Meima Omar. David Melech said similar words. He didn't say Zochli Alakai the Toiv, he said Zochreni Hashem Ritzayna Mechavak, Dini Mishua Sechas. He also asked, Kadosh Baruch Hu, remember me. Every morning, David Rachmi have a kabbai. This passage that we're quoting from David HaMelech, he's asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, remember for me Latoiva, not that I have credit, but I want you to go and respond to Lelem and shower me with blessings and save me from all my enemies, etc. Another reason why Nehemiah doesn't have a sefer on his name, because he spoke poorly about the earlier ones. Who the early ones? Shenema v'bachas Hashem v'shelafonai hechbidu ala om v'yichu mehem malechem v'yayin echad kesef shkolim arboim. So he spoke about the bachas rishonim. They were machber ala om. They put on taxes and they took from them the lechem v'yayin and the shkolim, etc. So since he spoke poorly about his predecessors, so we took away, he doesn't get the name Nehemiah. V'yaval Daniel shegorim menu siper. Even about Daniel, who is greater than him, than Nehemiah, he also spoke in a negative fashion. How do I know Daniel was greater than Nehemiah? There was a Mara of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nevuah. I, Daniel, saw that Mara, but the Anoshim Shehoyu Imi, who are those, says Rashi? Three. Not Hanani Mishal Vazayah, but Chagi, Zechariah, Umalachi, the three of the last of the Nevi'im, of the Trei Usar. We normally think of Daniel, not of Daniel, of Sefer Ksuvim as being post-Nevi'im. Nevi'im still had Nevi'im, that's why it's called Nevi'im. Mm-hmm. Well, once you get into Ksuvim, this is already a later generation, no more Nevi'im. Says the Pasuk that I, Daniel, in one respect, was greater than those Nevi'im. How was it greater? Ksuvim, Isa, Ni, Daniel, Avadi, Samar, I saw the Mare, but I know Shoimi, Chag, Zechayim, Melachim, I should loyalize them, but they didn't say the Mare. Avacharod, Gedul, Nafaleim, but a tremendous fear and trepidation fell upon them. But Yivruchu b'Yechove, and therefore they fled, and they might upbraid. Dr. Gemara by Anoshim Shaoyim Ilero Esamare Umaninu Anoshim. Who are those people? The Gemara says, "Hear me, the same Rabbi Barab Zechag Zchayim Malachi, that they didn't see the Mara and they fled. Inu Adif Minei v'Iu Adif Minayu. They are greater than him, and he is greater than them. Inu Adif Minei." The Chagiz Chaim Halachi were greater than Daniel, Dino Nevi, because they have the title of a Navi. The Yulav Navi, however, Daniel was not a Navi. The Yod of Minai, but he was greater than them. The Iyu Chaza, he saw this Mara. The Inu Lei Chaza, but they did not see the Mara. Frank Timura, but it says in the Pasuk that they were trembling. Charodik Dol Nafal Leim. Vachim Yach Bolei Chaza, my Taima, Ivis, why were they scared? But when Afal got the Inu Lei Chaza, Midi Mazlai Chaza, even though they didn't see it with their own eyes,
they sensed it,
they felt it, mm-hmm, like the harichon, right, they smelled that something was going on. We see from this, someone will get scared without any apparent reason. Even if he didn't see anything, my Tekante, what should a person do when he is fearful of something like that? He doesn't even know what he's afraid of. But he's fearful, which he do. Lynch of Miduch the Arbog. Immediately he should move out of where he's standing. Four Amis, move away. Inami or another eight says Likri Krishna. He should go and say Krishna. However, he can't even mock him tonight. So what happens if wherever he's standing,
he can't say
you can't say Krishna. Lay Mahach, he should say the following incantation. Izan the Beitavcha Shneinam Minoi. The Izim, the goats that are in the Beitavcha, which are
in
the Shlachthaus. Shmeinam Minoi, they're fatter than me.
They're better prayer targets.
In other words, he's telling to all the Kifshifs, or the Shishalids, or the evil demons, Chevra, you want to start up with, what are you starting up with? You have much better targets, take care of them, and that will be much better for you. Have a good day, everybody.
This is a small toast in the Gemara.